This is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. By another road. The wise men change course. They leave for their own country by another road. Now, I imagine we have all had this experience. We're on a particular path. Something then happens to impact the journey that changes things up. So then we set off on a new path. Sometimes this can be a fun and exciting adventure filled with good things and good people and joyful anticipation. Sometimes it can heighten our fear as we are unsure of what lies ahead, exactly where we're going, or how long the journey may take. Maybe the wise men experienced some of this. In any event, they really are wise because Herod is a treacherous leader. He uses his power in cruel and vindictive ways. He's king by way of shady politics. He's always in fear of being ousted. Herod's darkness is in such contrast to the birth of Jesus. And Matthew's gospel really helps us see this conflict of kingdoms. There's the Christ child, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah and Savior. And then there is Herod, whose character reveals a world in desperate need of God's intervention and healing, in need of light that shines in the darkness where the darkness does not overcome it. And for us, each year, the journey of the wise men lead us to this light, lead us to this healing and redemption. A key part of our family's Christmas decorations is the nativity scene, which is one from my childhood. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the rustic creche, angels, shepherds, all the animals are there, as are the wise men, bowing down before the Christ child, all with their gifts that are fit for a king, highly costly and symbolic gifts, all under the guidance of a heavenly star. Our nativity scene in our home is Christmas and Epiphany, all rolled into one, and it is truly hard to imagine the story any other way. Like with the Christmas story in Luke, to which we return year after year, we come again and again to this story, to these hymns that we are singing today. Since the earliest of days, the church has celebrated the journey of the Magi, the kings, sages, whatever we want to name them. And it is one of the few scriptures that is read every year on an appointed day. Why? Because it celebrates the universal impact of God's self-revelation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet, every year, even with all this in mind, I have to stop and rethink. Now, what does this mean exactly for our present-day discipleship? Maybe you feel the same. To better understand, I dug a little deeper this week. And as I looked deeper, one of the most striking things to me was to be reminded that initially, the early church gave just as much, if not more, attention to the season of Epiphany as it did to Christmas. Because Epiphany magnifies, it glorifies who Jesus is and what His birth means for all people. And of course, this is long, long before Christmas became the cultural and commercial phenomenon it is today. Like the announcement to the lowly shepherds in the field who were the first to receive the good news, unlikely candidates, we might add, so too are the wise men unlikely candidates. And yet this visit is placed right at the beginning of the New Testament, setting the stage for the expansiveness of God's grace where all are invited. The shepherds and wise men respond with joy and praise, and then they share the good news with others. Today's scripture is such a familiar and comforting scene for us modern-day folk that we probably forget the surprising and startling nature of its original context. You know, we think of this story as picturesque, that perfect silhouette with three stately and well-dressed men on camels traveling under a brilliant and starry night sky. Or we know it with kings on bended knee, turned towards the Christ child, offering costly and symbolic gifts. Yet if we only consider these marvelous snapshots, we fail to appreciate how scandalous it was for this divine revelation to be given to these wise men from the East. For the Magi of Matthew's gospel are, most likely, descendants of the Babylonians, the very people who carried Judah down another road, off into captivity and exile for a long season, which even today is a crucial and defining moment for the people of God. So this story, here we see more clearly, this is a God who offers mercy, who makes grace and salvation available even to the Gentiles, even to those who may be descendants of those who were bitter enemies of God's people. This is a life-changing and life-giving revelation, making us rethink how we are to be and do in this world. These eternal purposes and the expansiveness of God's grace, it's not new. It was proclaimed by the prophet Isaiah, who calls the people returning from that very exile to rise and shine, for their light has come. Although darkness covers the earth and gloom over the nations, one day all nations will be drawn to the light of God's salvation. These eternal purposes are also proclaimed in the letter to the Ephesians that Ben read just a moment ago, going back to the very beginning of creation. Matthew also, And his genealogy of Jesus reveals these eternal purposes. As outsiders like Rahab and Ruth, they're not dismissed. They don't get left out of the genealogy, but rather they are named as descendants in the royal line of Messiah. All of this is God's grace going before us, revealing more clearly, more completely, the fullness of God's mercy. Now, on the one hand, we may remember and know these things, but I know I always have to have these reminders. Perhaps you do too. Having been warned in a dream, the wise men take another road home. Now, many of us are taking stock of our lives this year, making various adjustments, taking new roads, different paths to healing and wholeness, not only for ourselves, but also for others. Many of us are considering our habits and practices and way of life, perhaps having a good clean out. Closet in my house got cleaned out this week. No doubt, we all face crossroads, defining moments that shape and influence our future. Something happens that makes us stop to rethink, to rejoice, to celebrate, or lament, or returning to the Isaiah scripture, we may wrestle with darkness, discouragement. We may get disenchanted with life. None of us are completely immune to the conflict of kingdoms or to our common human condition. Yet all of these moments are possibilities. They are opportunities to learn more about who we are in Christ, who God is, and how we will respond. Even seemingly small and insignificant decisions that we make can have influence. Those little decisions can add up to something substantial over time. The wise men make a critical decision and return to their own country by another road. It's a day of new beginnings for them and for all people. Plus, like the wise men, we are blessed to have companions for the journey. We have the gift of each other in community, which helps all of us experience greater purpose and meaning and fulfillment. What is God revealing to each of us personally and together as the Lord's church? Maybe we're asking questions like, what light will shine from us this year? What road do we take in 2026? And how will this lead to following Jesus more closely? A faithful response will look different for each of us, yet we all aim for God's common purpose and mission. Over the next few Sundays in our new sermon series, it's going to help us navigate these very things as we dive deeper into following Jesus and the marks of discipleship. Today, we celebrate that God is the continuation of God's steadfast covenant love with Israel, and that God's salvation extends to all who will come, all who will receive, including us. Now is a perfect time to center ourselves in who God is, how God is at work in this world, and how we will respond in light of God's self-revelation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.